The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from radio. This is your host, Mara Torres, speaking. With me on the radio, I have our very own Hassan Godwin.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Hassan.
I'm not on the radio. I'm on the phone.
You're on the phone on the radio.
On the phone on the radio.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay. And our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, will be gingerly walking in very shortly. It is monsoon season out there today. On the final show of It Came From the Radio of 2013.
Hence why I'm on the phone.
That's why? You could not traverse?
One of the reasons why.
Could not traverse the monsoon?
No, I don't have my hydrofoils installed like I should, so.
See, that's
my fault.
So if anybody has a spare hydrofoil they want to give away.
Yes. That's my New Year's resolution, is to get hydrofoils.
To get a hydrofoil, you should be to build a hydrofoil. That's more productive.
Well, one way or the other.
Either way.
How my ingenuity goes.
So, if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online, www.am1240wgbb.com, and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see me and Brian in the high-definition web camera right now. That is, if you're listening to us live, which technically isn't live at all because we're on a 7-second delay. So
don't
you're
get too technical. Oh my God, just move on. Just get carried away. Just keep going.
Well, it's part of the thing.
People,
it's a thing.
People grasp the concept of the high-definition camera and radio. They get it. They get it, trust me.
Do they really?
Yes, I believe they do. Take a poll. Take a poll of the people who grasp it.
But the people who wouldn't grasp it wouldn't also be able to grasp the poll.
Exactly. So if anybody answers, I win.
Alrighty, so usually we take it away with the news. But
why aren't you taking it away with the news?
Well, since this is the end of the year, there are two things that I've been wanting to say for a couple of weeks, actually. Well, one thing I want to say for a couple of weeks, one thing I wanted to say for a week. So I figured we'd talk about that instead of doing the news. And then in the future episodes, which will be in the 2014, we'll do the catch-up news.
Oh, so you didn't do any news?
Actually, no, I do have news here, but there were two things I wanted to hit before we ran out of 2014.
I see. Okay.
So the first thing I wanted to mention is that something that happened just this past week. WPIX, for those of you who do not know, would be Channel 11.
Six.
WPIX, that's what I said.
You remember that game?
Oh, yes, that you had to yell out when you were...
You had to yell out, pick.
All right, so let's backtrack. In the old days, there was a local station called WPIX on Channel 11. It was a syndicated network in New York. And as Hassan was mentioning, they used to have kids call in, and they played a video game on the phone on the television.
Right.
And for
it was like Space Invaders too. It was like bad graphics, and it was a long time ago. It was when we were kids. So
right.
Yeah,
it was high tech graphics at the time.
Yes, it was state of the art back in the day.
And the kids had to yell out picks for the action to happen, whatever action it was.
Yes, so like if it was Space Invaders, in order to fire the lasers to destroy the evil invader flying saucers, you had to yell out picks, which was for WPIX.
Right.
You had to yell out picks.
Every time you wanted to shoot the thing. Though.
Right, which was fantastic publicity for them, because you never forgot about picks. That's when you were a kid. Picks.
That is very true. And And back in the day, they I actually managed to call the television station. I actually got through to the television station as a child.
You did?
I did.
You were one of the pitch kids.
Well, I wasn't. No, FNAF, I called for another reason. I called, they were playing the old cutout Marvel Comics animation serials that they had,
yes.
Iron Man.
Yes.
And I was going on a trip to Puerto Rico, and I was going to miss an episode of the serial. So I called them up to say if they could play it again when I got back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took that local thing seriously, didn't you?
I still have no idea what happened to Tony Stark in the car accident.
You've been looking for that episode ever since.
He was in a flaming car accident. And I was like, I'm never going to know what's going to happen because I'm not going to be on to see it on TV. If you want VCR or anything, either you saw it.
Yeah, you should have DVR'd it, Mark.
Or you didn't. So, yes, if anybody knows what happened to Tony Stark in the fiery car crash that he was racing in,
please get in touch with us as soon as possible.
But in addition, they had local television productions.
Right.
One of which was a show called The Magic Garden. It was with two ladies who were school teachers, and they had a little show. It was like, I guess, like Sesame Street for local kids.
Right.
And just this past week, PIX 11, which is still the WB, I guess, it's the CW now, aired the Christmas special from the Magic Garden. And what they did, they brought back the two main characters, the actresses, the teachers, from the show to be live in the WPIX news station. And they talked about it. And it was an amazing thing because I haven't seen this show in, I don't know, 20-something years. But watching it, it brought back the memories like it was yesterday. They sang songs. I was like, oh, my God, I remember that song. They sang the hello song and the goodbye song. They had a purple the squirrel who loved peanuts.
Sherlock.
Yes.
Sorry.
See?
I don't know how I remember that.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't know you remember it until you remember it. And there it was. And it was very...
I remember it because I had a crush on both of them. It was terrible. It was a terrible time to grow up. I had a crush on my TV. So, I mean, I had a crush on everything that moved back then. But I definitely had a crush on those two women.
And just to see them, you know, now. Yes, Carol and Paula. You see, look at that. And they had, you would think that they were, like, high on something because you're watching that show and just some things about it, you're like, this, wow. There was one part where as Carol's brother was the guest star on the episode, and he happened to play, like, the music, the background music. And it was a Christmas episode, so then they had it was the regular Magical Garden set, and then it became the Christmas Magical Garden set. And since by chance that the brother happened to be a rotund person, he was just walking along on stage, and then he got magically pulled behind the magic tree and popped out as Santa Claus for no explainable reason.
They just hijacked him and made him Santa Claus.
Yes, but he did it himself, so he was being pulled by a magical force in the worst acting possible. Without even speaking, like, they wouldn't even pay him to say the line. Like, oh, I'm being pulled. No, he's just like, oh, and he went, whoop, and then he came out of Santa Claus. And no explanation at all. Just, I can see Santa Claus now.
Like, it was what it was. Right?
Yes, but, you know, just seeing it again was highly entertaining, and they're still around, and they're still performing. So,
really?
Yes. So, if anybody's interested in them, they can go to, what is it, www.carolandpaula, all spelled out, A-N-D, carolandpaula.com, and you can see, you know, what they've been up to. And I'm thinking maybe we can try to get them on the show, because they are local, you know, they are in New York, so that might be kind of interesting to see them come in.
You know, if you pull that off, I don't have to finish that statement. You pull that off. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous respect. Not like I don't respect you already, but this is like a different story. This is a different level of respect.
I think it'd be kind of cool because, you know, it was even the newscaster who was interviewing them. She was like, "Oh my God!" She was just You just felt the positive energy, and that's something you don't really have nowadays. You know, at least in my personal world, you know, you're watching the show, you're like, wow, this was back in the day. You kind of have like the nice memories, and it was just a happy little fun show with, you know, no negativity. It was just fun. So, any of you listeners out there, you should really go check out that website. And they're selling their CDs. It's an amazing thing. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention.
All right.
And the second
I'm afraid to find out what the second thing is.
Well, the second thing is that this is something we've been talking about for the past 2.5 years. The Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Broadway production, which we mentioned is closing in 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I actually managed to go see it. And I wanted to tell everybody, you know, what I thought of it.
You went to go see it and didn't invite the rest of the staff, of your, you know, your loyal compatriots.
The staff
so
was busy.
You're all alone in discussing this now.
The staff was busy.
Yeah, really? Because I don't remember being busy.
You didn't get the memo. That's what it was.
Yeah, right. I didn't get the memo that I was busy.
Right.
I understand.
You were too busy to get the memo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you were busy.
I don't remember being too busy to get the memo, but okay. Fair enough.
So, you go down to see, I go down to see the play, and the first thing I have to mention is the seats were very tiny and uncomfortable. I don't understand why they would have these little tiny seats, and the people around me were also complaining about the size of the seats, and there were some, you know, larger people. I'm not a large person at all, so I can fit into pretty much anywhere, but there were some other people who were like, you know, like, oh, these seats are very uncomfortable. I can't believe these seats are so uncomfortable. And that was the discussion so far.
You're going to talk about this multi-million-dollar fiasco of a television of a play.
Yes.
Of a show.
Yes.
That they've been trying to put on for the last like 4 or 5 years to get off the ground, and then now they've absolutely given up and decided to send the show to Vegas.
Right.
They're not going to recoup their losses.
Right.
You actually went to this show and you actually sat down. See the show.
Right.
And then you actually went on your radio show to review the show.
Right.
And the first thing you need to talk about is how bad the seats were. That's
well, it's just the start. Like,
the comfort of the seats.
Just the start of the things to come for this $75 million production. So, unfortunately, I mean, we did a show about Broadway, and when I went to get the tickets, I didn't know that it was two floors for this production, because when I went to see Wicked, it told me, no, this is two floors, and you're going to be on top, and so we're going to sit. This one did not tell me, so I wound up sitting on the bottom floor when it would be better to sit up top. So I knew stuff was going to happen up top, and I was like, oh, I was prepared for that. So, you know, the play starts, and I'm listening, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, this isn't that good. This isn't that good at all. The musical numbers weren't that memorable. They weren't that great. However, I do have to give credit to the actors for really, you know, they were really performing these underwhelming songs. But they were still like, I was like, man.
Were they doing it with gusto?
Yes, they were doing it with gusto. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, huh, all right, it's not that good at all. Like, the story wasn't that great. I mean, I've seen the story many times, but if you present it in an interesting way, especially for a Broadway show, you know, you can do a lot of things. I wasn't feeling it, and I'm sitting there thinking, maybe I'm the only one. So, you know, in the intermission, I turned to the guy I was with, and I was like, hey, this wasn't that pretty good. And he's like, yeah, it really wasn't that good. So I was like, oh, all right, it wasn't just me. The visuals was pretty amazing. You know, you knew that he was going to swing around, Spider-Man's going to be swinging around the thing, and what they did was they had 7 Spider-Men dressed up in a Spider-Man costume to do all the main stunts. So I was like, all right, so, you know, they're able to have Spider-Man do a quick change because it's a different guy in a different suit running around. And there were 7 of them, so he can pop up all over the place because he's so, you know, quick. And then there's, of course, and you look at the program guide, if you remember, we talked about the villains, and one of them was called Swiss Miss, which you caught, because I was like, it's a knife-wielding person. You're like, oh, they're going to call him Swiss Miss, and that's what they call him. And it was a female villain, but playing the female villain was a male actor. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would they have a male actor play a female villain. And then when she comes out, it's just Amazon thing with, like, giant swords spinning around. And I'm like, oh, that's why it was a guy, because it was just a large person with a female armor on. Yeah.
All right, so this, I don't like to snap judge anything. I really don't. I mean, you know, except for Michael Bay and right. then, and Joss Whedon. But, this doesn't sound good. At all.
Yeah, it really, you know, I'm sitting like, oh, man, this is not good. And they, for those of you who are who know Spider-Man, there's the characters called the Sinister Six, which is like his greatest villains, and it's six of them. That's why they call it Sinister Six, and that's actually going
to
be
and
in the
they
next.
Usually, on occasion, they team up to try to
right, and there's going to be the next the
Spider-Man,
next
but.
Yeah, the next Spider-Man, right? And the next Spider-Man movie is going to have all six in the Sinister Six. So they
yeah,
decided to incorporate.
They're trying to keep that pretty quiet.
It's all over the internet.
Well, now it is.
Oh,
the
okay.
trailer came out
right.
when they first started. They're trying to keep it really quiet.
Right. So they include the Sinister Six in there. One of which is Swiss Miss, which you know didn't make any sense. But they have these elaborate costumes for the Sinister Six, and they don't. Do anything. They just come out, you know, do a little dance, and then they get webbed by Spider-Man, and then that's it. I was like, well, what were they there for? There was no reason for them to be in this production at all, except for the fact that they were in the comics.
Sinister Six.
Right.
So they could say that they had the Sinister Six in the play.
Right. There was an old show, a movie, called the Josie and the Pussycats movie, and there was one line where they were in the plane, and they asked Alexandra, they said, what are you doing on the plane? And she says, I was in the comic. And that was like, all right, that makes sense to me.
Yes,
so that's
yeah,
what,
that.
If someone went to say, hey, what are you guys, the Sinister Six, doing here? Eh, we were in the comic. Like, all right, that's the reason you're there. For no other purpose.
I hope they say that in the movie.
No,
fantastic.
Unfortunately, yeah. So
that would allow me to lighten up on the movie a little bit. But okay, keep going.
Yeah. So the swing was kind of cool. You know, they're swinging around, and they actually have a battle in over the audience. You know, the Green Goblin's on his little flyer, and they're fighting right above you, which is kind of amazing. And I can see where the guy fell. Like, okay, that's where the guy fell, or that's where this happened. You can just tell. Like, oh, well, that's that part. And that's, I can see how it could be extremely dangerous for what they're doing. And then what I thought was kind of nice was that the actual actors, the main cast, were also harnessed up to the wires. So they actually had the main actor come out, and he did the classic Spider-Man pose where he came upside down, you know, swinging down from the ceiling, and he gave Mary Jane an upside-down kiss. But I was like, wow, that's kind of dangerous for him to do that. And he swung around without the mask on.
Wait, so they do the upside-down kiss in the play?
They did it as the encore at the end, but he did it.
Okay.
And, you know, you see the actor swinging around and looking at his expression on his face, like, he's really working, like, I hope I don't fall. You can actually see his expression, like, I don't want to fall. And you really could. I was like, wow. And then, of course, the main question, which I was trying to figure out, is why in the world was it called Turn Off the Dark? Why is Spider-Man called Turn Off the Dark? There's one scene where this new character called Arachne, supposed to be the very first spider, sings to Peter Parker, saying the main title, Turn Off the Dark. And then that's it. So there's really no explanation of why it's called Turn Off the Dark. So I did a little research, and it turns out the reason why the play Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark is called Turn Off the Dark is because in the original version, as you remember, they had to rehash the original version and make it the second version,
right.
is that Arachne was the main character in the play, and she was quote unquote in the dark because she was lonely, and she was all by herself, and she came across Spider-Man, who she felt a kindred connection with, and Spider-Man turned off the dark. You get it?
I get it. Because it was dark. Life was dark, right?
Yes.
He came along and he turned off.
Yes, yes.
Hey, see? It's all about therapy. Spider-Man's a therapist.
I wish he could turn off the rain.
What happened? What did you say?
I said, I wish he could turn off the rain. It sucks out there.
Spider-Man can't turn off anything.
Yeah.
Except revenue coming into that play. That's when he can turn it off.
So, you know, then we have the second act, and then, you know, more stuff happens, and, you know, everybody has to try and be hamming it up. So the guy who played the Green Goblin, he was really hamming up, you know, as best as he could. And he was entertaining, but not for what he was given. You know, he's trying his best. And
okay,
the very, I'd say, about 15 minutes of the play, they went all out with the production values. It's just a stage, you know, a very small stage, but they have the props was amazing. And they gave you a forced perspective of looking down from the sky onto the Chrysler Building. And they had the Chrysler Building coming out at you, an actual, you know, cardboard, whatever it was, building sticking out.
Well, it wasn't the real building, Mark, okay? Well,
yeah, and they had like
something
little
cardboard.
Well, it could have been metal.
Could have been metal, yes.
And they had little cars in the background driving across with the lights. So it was elaborate thing to look at. I was like, wow, that you actually feel that you're looking down on New York City during this elaborate fight between Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. And I'm thinking, wow, if this whole play was like the last 15 minutes, it would be one of the best plays I've ever seen in my entire life. However,
yeah, but it would also be one of the most expensive plays you've ever seen
It is the most expensive play on Broadway. It's the highest production ever made, $75 million to make. And the cost for a weekly cost is the highest.
How much was your ticket?
We had the discount, super discount cheap tickets of $70.
Wow. $70.
Yeah.
And you couldn't invite your friends.
and it wasn't even a packed house. So the expensive seats were, you know, just sitting all empty, and there was one part where the Green Goblin went down and talked to the audience.
That's why seats there, because it cost you $75.
let me ask you something, like the baseball games. If you have the $70 seats, do you run down to the seats if you see them?
Actually, somebody did that.
Yeah,
somebody was sitting by us.
Why not?
At the intermission, and they got up, and they just went all the way down to the front.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get kicked out of here.
Well, the worst you can do is get kicked back. You just say, hey, look, nobody was in these seats all night. I'll go back up to my $70 seats.
And they
be Spider-Man, give back those seats.
Yeah. In fact, took me up to a wire, and I'll... Yeah.
But yeah, they went down there, and there was one part where the Green Goblin went down to the audience to talk to him, and he went down to the part where there was no seats. So he's like, and then he went back up, and he went to the other side where there was people.
Yeah. What did he say to them?
He was just he was saying about how evil he was. It was just like a rant.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he was like,
I'm back.
And then he's, yeah. Then he said to the guy, hey, you were in the $70 seats. What are you doing down here?
No, wait. So what'd you think, Mark?
I can tell why it was one of the most expensive Broadway plays in history, and I can see why is it closing down. That's my opinion. It was not
that
a good play.
Did you like it?
It was not a good play at all. That's a cop-out. What did you think?
I did not care for it. I thought the last 15 minutes was awesome. However, it was it's kind of boring. The songs weren't that memorable. I just said I can see why.
You said it because I made you say it.
I can see why they're closing. Because
that doesn't mean anything.
Well, because of these reasons. Because it wasn't entertaining. It wasn't energetic. It wasn't what everybody's saying it was. The stunts were nice.
Look at all those reasons that are attached into that sentiment. Like, you know, these are what you're saying specifically.
The stunts
were not entertained. That was slightly boring. That there was a lot of superfluous matter going around in there. That, you know, a lot of things just didn't make any sense. A lot of stuff wasn't necessary. Sinister Sticks weren't utilized to any kind of great capacity. You know, and they should have made the entire, how long was the play? Like 2 hours?
2 hours,
they should have made the entire 2-hour play, like the last 15 minutes of the play.
Yeah, pretty, you summed it up, and you didn't even see it.
How was the audience reacting, other than you? I mean,
you know,
what did you think the audience thought?
Well, as I was saying earlier, the majority of complaints was the seats, the bad, how uncomfortable the seats were. And then on the way out, you know, they clapped and everything. I mean, you know, you got to give them it all. You know, like the guy's swinging around and for his life, so you got to give him some credit. Like, all right, you know, good job not dying today. And, you know, it was like, good job, you know, getting through
good
the
job,
production. Yeah.
At the end, they should just take a moment for all the people who fell.
And when we're leaving, when we're leaving, you know, I'm listening to what other people are saying. And if some of them are saying, this wasn't that good at all. This wasn't that great.
Ah, so.
Wow.
Okay.
You actually overheard them.
Yeah. There was some.
About
on the way out. Yeah. They're like, oh, this wasn't that good at all. And then there was a kid who was, you know, obviously the target audience. He fell asleep.
He fell asleep and woke up. He didn't miss anything.
it was a kid like five seats down. He fell asleep during the production. So like, well, if it's not good for the kid, that's bad.
They should give the production to Cirque du Soleil. They should give that production to them, because those guys will make a Spider-Man fantasy sequence like you wouldn't believe. And if they're going to Vegas, that's the place to do it.
Yeah. And
my opinion. That's it. Senior correspondent editorial right there.
And, you know, we talked about the Broadway. We did the Broadway show a couple of weeks ago, and it was just style over substance. It was just a lot of flash, a lot of, you know, things where, as I mentioned, the Spidey Project, which is just a little www.thespideyproject.com. You can go on and
see
it right
now. What'd you like better?
The Spidey Project.
I loved
that play. And I went back and I saw it again. I'm thinking, it is still better than what I saw for free on YouTube in four parts.
Yeah.
It was the music was better. It was engaging. Sure, they skipped over a couple of parts because it was a 30-day production with no budget at all. They managed to do it, which was amazing. If you take that consideration, so you look at it as an independent
you
movie.
Talk about the Chrysler Building. What happened when they were moving?
they're moving the buildings. They had two people holding cardboard cutouts of buildings, walking back and forth while Spider-Man was standing on stage swinging. But the thing, he even picked up a Prius, a little cardboard cut out of a car. He went and he picked up the car and lifted it over his head, and he incorporated it. That's the man who lifted up a Prius.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah,
he
right.
He said he would have gone on a $9 million vacation, right?
And that,
he said he would have made $15 million production and went on a $74 million vacation. Yeah,
that place should have been named Spider-Man Turn on the Smart.
They actually have a cast recording for the www.thespideyproject.com. You can go on there, you can buy a CD of the songs, which are pretty good and well performed. So that's what I've done this 2014. So I wanted to share that with you when we're going to take
2014.
Yeah,
is it New Year's already?
Well, before
the end
20,
of 2014.
Oh, before 2014. Yep. I thought I missed a couple of days. Sorry. the drugs were kicking in.
We're going to take our break. We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward. To him, life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find the Spider-Man.
Open up the window, listen to the wind blow. Pardon us, the garden us is where we'll be. Come along, if you please, sing a song. Bumblebees, me and you, you and me. One big happy family, then you and us together. Happy as a feather, spinning round and up and down, away we go. Lots of things to play here, so why all don't you stay here? Come and see our garden grow, hello. Come and see our garden grow, hello. Come and see our garden grow.
Look away now.
Come and see our garden grow.
We'll be right back.
Come and see our garden grow.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with Became From the Radio. Special thanks to Brian for putting on that Magic Garden theme. Look at that.
Brian's the best.
Yes.
No one ever got.
Yay.
With him, Rice is a great big bang up. Wherever there's a hang up.
Right.
You'll find it. Yeah. Why isn't it Rice just a great big hang up? That's the properly used pun. See? Because he hangs around. Right?
But wherever there's a hang up.
Him, life's a great big hang up. Because that's a properly used pun. That's metaphor.
Huh.
But they got that back. For the years I've been singing that wrong.
I've never thought about that before. Life is a great big hang up.
Never mind.
Wow. Good job picking that out. Nicely done.
That's right, a living through drugs.
Yeah, that's what probably happened. They're like, this sounds better this way.
Yes. Like that.
Smoke, give, right?
Yeah. It's that, like.
It
that
makes more sense. If you're going to look for sense, then it's gonna make, it makes more sense. It is a cartoon, I understand, so who cares? But, you know, if you're going to examine it, I think they did the wrong job.
Yeah. It's like when you get words like that and you just realize, you go, oh, it's like that scene in Meet the Parents when the father's favorite song is Puff the Dragon, Puff the Magic Dragon. And Ben Stiller is trying
about.
To explain, and it's just like, no, don't do that.
So this week we're going to be talking about the best movie, in all our opinions, of 2003. The worst movie in 2003. And then an honorable mention or two. 2013.
Yeah.
2003. I'm time traveling already. Yes, 2013. Thank you, Hassan.
No problem.
So, Hassan, did you compile your list of the best movie you saw this year, the worst movie you saw, and honorable mention?
Yeah.
What was the best movie you saw of this year?
The best movie I saw of 2013 is... give me a minute. It's The Hobbit.
Wow. And what caused that that distinction? What gave it that honor?
I just thought that it was, you know, I'm really into that stuff, action, adventure, and fantasy, and stuff like that. I didn't see a lot of the movies of 2014.
13.
Now you got me doing it.
Foundation.
I liked Kick-Ass, excuse me, and a couple of other movies that I've seen, but they weren't really as, I didn't thoroughly enjoy them as much as I did The Hobbit. So if you're asking for the best movie out of this year, that's certainly the one for me.
All right. Charlie, you have a best movie as well?
Oh, there's so many. No, I think, again, we're big fans. If you're a big fan of The Hobbit, that had to be the one, you know, because you were waiting for it, you know. How long were they promoing that, Hassan, The Hobbit? It seems like forever.
Yeah.
Because they were
almost the whole year you were waiting for it, especially if you saw the previous one.
Yeah.
And it was in development hell, as they say, because the rights weren't there, and then Guillermo del Toro was going to take over, and then
right,
Peter Jackson
even,
got him
even
back.
Even now, there's a thing with the Weinsteins and New Line and Warner Brothers.
Yes.
And it's an endless, you know. Well, if you didn't have the vision to know that something like that was going to take off, and you made your deals beforehand, and now you're looking at, like, oh,
we could have made all this money, and I didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, for me, it's actually kind of a tie, because, you know, this is a entertainment, science fiction type thing, so I have that for one category, but... the movie I thought, just personally, was the best movie of the year, I thought was Temptation. The Tyler Perry movie, Temptation, because I love a good soap opera. And I saw that movie, twists and turns, but it was a drama. So, you know, I thought that that movie was one of the best enjoyable movies for me because I didn't expect it to be that good. And it's a Tyler Perry movie, and I've never seen a Tyler Perry movie that wasn't a Madea movie, and I only seen one Madea movie. But The Temptation was a very good movie about a man, about a woman who has something and she doesn't know what she has until she loses it. And the sexy guy comes in and tries to steal her away, and the good guy just, you know, tries to fight for his woman. Very, very entertaining, dramatic, soap opera-y movie. On the science fiction action end, I would have to go with Olympus Has Fallen. I thought the opening sequence of that movie, not seeing the other one, The White House Down. So it's like one of those things where if you saw one, you shouldn't see the other.
I saw the both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought the Olympus Has Fallen was what Die Hard 5 should have been. It was. There were parts of that movie where I didn't think it went one way, and I thought it was like, all right, now he's going to be protecting the kid for the entire movie, and it's going to be a big thing. Like, no, he got the kid out for the kid.
Well, the whole point was that he knew that place upside down, you know.
And like I said, the opening action sequence about how they actually took it down, because you watch the trailer, like, it's just a plane, and like, no, it was an elaborate people dying sequence.
The only thing I had a problem with is... things were happening too long before response. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you feel that way? I'm saying.
Like, well, where's everybody else?
This is the big boys. Why where are all the backup here? But again, you're right. It was a good answer.
It was eye opening. I did not expect such an elaborate thing, and I think that really pulled me into it. Because I was like, all right, you know, the guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh wow, stuff's really pulling in. And it was,
and you're absolutely right. It was just so you may have thought that they were going to go the whole picture and that kid was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And then he got him out. I was like, oh, thank God, good, because I was in no mood for one of those pictures.
Right, and then the bad guy is, you know, why capture instead of kill? It's one of the things a bad guy should be doing, just killing people, and they had a reason for not killing, and then when the reason was up, we're going to kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, wow, they really did a good job with that. That was the one with Gerard Butler.
Not the one with Jamie Foxx.
Right, not the one with Jamie Foxx, yes.
The one with Jamie Foxx is the one with, what's his name?
Tatum Chandler?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Duke.
And that was White House Down.
Well,
right, that was
right.
White House
Down. I saw two of those movies in
Morgan
the same
Freeman
evening.
Was in yours, yeah.
Yeah.
Which anything he's in, you always listen to. Even The Love Guru. When he puts a dial on Morgan Freeman.
Right.
So it sounds better when...
I thought that was an excellent movie of 2013.
Okay.
So since you saw The White House Down and The Olympus Has Fallen, the two of you saw both of them, right?
I did.
Okay, so give me a little comparison, because I didn't see White House
Down. There's no comparison. They're the same movie.
Yeah, it's like one of those flukes, and I know this happens. I know this happens all the time in Hollywood, because we see movies like this all the time. Somebody writes a script, somebody's making the script, all of a sudden somebody sees that script, hey, I got a script just like that, they make it, and... next thing you know, you got two films the same, or somebody saying, hey, I had that idea before you, and, well, my picture is better. Well, let's see. Let's throw it on. But, I like Olympus Has Fallen, just for the simple fact that you got dragged into the character, you know, Butler's character. You got dragged into him, like, you know, oh man, look at, oh, now they need him, you know.
Yeah,
now here's the guy who knows the. And then I like the idea that they were giving him carte blanche.
Right
That was the best part, because that just solidified Rented Lips, his character, how good he was,
right,
you know.
Worst movie, Hassan, you got a worst movie?
Skyline.
That's wrong year.
I don't care. That will be every
it's so
year.
Bad.
Every it year it will be my worst movie. Okay? I'm saying that now. Next year you ask me, 2014 you ask me. If you asked me in 2003, I would have said Skyline. It wasn't the main.
So bad. It transcends all
so
time.
So bad, it just staying with me like a bad visual.
Man. Hassan, you got a bad, the worst movie you saw in the theaters?
It's a toss up between Star Trek Into Darkness or The Man of Steel for me.
Wow.
And I think The Man of Steel is a superior movie. It's just so morally bereft that it's hard to it's not a movie that's bad because of any of the conventional reasons that the movie is bad. It's not bad because of acting. It's not bad because of, you know, because of special effects or gravitas. You know, it was a Superman movie, but it was just so, it's so morally irresponsible for such an iconic brand name, you know, for such an iconic franchise, that it in spite of its $200 million look, it became one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time. Although I was entertained by it, but for, you know, for specifically different reasons. But I think it has to be Into Darkness, which is probably the worst movie, because it is just, it's another one of those morally bereft movies, but, and also it has a lot of logical, a lot of holes in the logic, in the absolute, like the fabric that holds this film together is so flimsy, and the circumstances that happen in the film are so, like, you know, it's so forced, and so, you know, and so just corrupted and bad. It's just not a good film at all. A lot of people like the film because it's, like, you know, it's fun, and it's, you know, it's got explodies and stuff like that, and that's all fine, but if you're a Star Trek fan, it's a horrible movie. Okay, I think the Star Trek fans collectively pronounce it the worst Star Trek movie that ever existed.
Worse than When I Went to Be God.
That means it's worse than Star Trek V.
Yeah,
I don't know if I agree with that, but it is a very, it's a morally bankrupt movie. It really is. A lot of it makes no sense, from hiding a spaceship in the ocean when you could have just left it in space, all the way to the fact that this guy would attack Starfleet and then transport himself to the Klingon homeworld. Like, what was he going to do after that? You know, they didn't come and get him. What was he going to do after that? I mean, there's a lot of things. Well, that's nonsense. You know? So you just have a lot of those. This is,
he would have made, you know, a little campfire and hanged out for a while.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Great. So good. So you liked it. So all right.
Well, no, I did. I did say why I did originally like it, and then why I got turned on it, because I got hoodwinked. I told you about that. How it's, they rehashed the story, not a Star Trek II, but a Felicity. So that's why I don't.
It's a rehash of Felicity and Star Trek, and it just throws the Star Trek II tropes in there. I guess in an attempt to be cute.
Yeah.
But in this age of complete and utter disrespect of anything that's, you know, older than I don't know, than a week or two, it doesn't register as homage. You know, registers as a lazy ripoff.
No, the part that I lost that movie at, I didn't lose it as far as knowing what it was about. I lost it as, oh man, they jumped the shark right here. You know, it's when Spock started, they didn't need that.
When he went all mad
they
and chased after...
Yeah, you'll figure this, you know...
They brought Old Spock, okay.
Yeah, Old Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
They didn't need that. They really didn't.
They didn't need any of it. The guy didn't have to be Khan. If the guy wasn't Khan, I mean, almost that simply, if the guy wasn't Khan, then that would have been, it would have been a completely different movie, and the whole movie might have worked.
Right.
The fact that it was Khan, with no respect for the previous depictions of Khan, and no respect for the story of Khan, and you know, I mean, this guy's in it. A lot of it is predicated on you knowing who Khan is and what Khan has done, and the the magnitude of what Khan was.
Right.
But in order to know who Khan is, you would have to have seen at least Star Trek II, if not Star Trek II and Space Seed, you know, together.
Right.
So there's that. So, because Benedict Cumberbatch, as great an actor as he is, he doesn't have anything to work with. They don't tell you any Khan's backstory. They don't explain to you who Khan is, where Khan came from. They just said that he was in cryogenic freeze for 300 years.
And,
so you didn't bring him in to utilize his backstory. You didn't bring him in to elaborate on his character. You didn't bring him in for any other particular reason other than, ooh, we'll get a bunch of butts in the seats because everyone finds out that it's Khan in this movie,
they'll come running. We talked about the the prequels now, how they were out of control. How they're out of control, and this is a perfect example of it, that they didn't care to to honor the original stuff. They just needed the prequel, and people like this. Let's make, and I don't care. I'm going to be Herman now. Let's make Kurt die in this one, and in the future Spock will die in the other one.
Yeah.
You know,
get it? It's different. It's different. Because it's got different depths in it, so it's different.
There was,
but it's the same.
There was an animated little short on YouTube about the Star Trek Into Darkness, and they said, you know, when he revealed that he was Khan, Kirk was like, all right, who's that? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, wait, I'm Khan.
It's a big deal out of him revealing it. And like, yeah, but we don't know who you are.
That's exactly what it's like. All right, so what, now what? And they're like, I'm Khan, really? And he's like, okay, thanks a lot for joining me. So I thought it was funny how they brought into that.
You know,
Roberto Orci, like one of the writers of, he's next to Alex Churchman, who's the other writer of it, the guys who also wrote, who gave us the gems of Transformers, and parts of Man of Steel and a couple of other movies. They have their hands all over a lot of things. They're like the hottest writers in Hollywood right now.
They're doing Hawaii 5-0.
Now they
he got mad at the fans for disliking the film.
He
used actual vulgar language. Because he was like, you know, you fans can, you know, bleep themselves because they don't understand the nuances of making a, this is not a direct quote, but they don't understand the nuances of making a film, and I'm the one who gets to make these films, and they're the ones who don't, so obviously I know more than they do, and that's, you know, that's yet another reason to despise just about everything about this.
I found another bad movie that I was thinking about that I saw that I need to say.
Yes.
Really, because it just drove me crazy. I shut the movie off, and I projected that it was going to be the suckiest movie, not the second one. So after Skyline, The Lone Ranger.
You didn't like The Lone Ranger?
I didn't like it.
The Lone Ranger.
Really? I liked it. Wow.
I thought the first half hour was like, what are you doing? What are you trying to tell me? Leave me alone. You know? Click.
Wow.
Then I put on We're the Millers.
Oh.
And I like that.
So for my worst movie of 2013, it's hands down as a little Rob Zombie movie called Lords of Salem.
Was it?
Yes. Lords of Salem was the worst movie I've seen this
Lords
year.
Lords of Sales?
Salem. Salem.
Oh, Salem.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of it.
I've heard of it. I didn't even want to watch it because it was
It's a good
zombie.
Thing you didn't hear of it.
Yeah.
How can I put this nicely?
It sucked.
The opening scene had 80-year-old full frontal female nudity. And that's where you started off at. And you kind of just went downhill from there.
It went downhill. What a
it went
what a
downhill
shock.
From there.
Well,
they tried. They tried to have a story.
That's already at the bottom of the hill. So you didn't go downhill. Everything was level from there.
It's almost like Skyline. You have that visual forever now.
Yeah. They tried to make a story out of it, but he was all over the place with whatever he had. And he was trying to make some type of a connection where the descendants of the people of Salem were coming back to life to try and have a new coven. And I'm sitting there like, oh,
did
my
he
God,
keep,
this is...
keep true to the Wiccan fate, or did he go with the evil, everything evil?
I don't know. It was just...
Yeah, because was, every I sort of showed off of everything that's made of Salem, because I kind of know a little bit about the Wiccan religion, and I've been to Salem a couple of times, and I just, the bum rap that the witches get are amazing, and when I see something like this, it's like, oh my God. But anyway, speaking about Rob, getting back on him, I think he hit gold once
with
in my personal
with the Halloween,
and then that was it. That was his...
the second Halloween, it was all over the place, kind of disjointed, and then you're like, what the hell I just saw? It was like that, but worse. It was worse than that.
He's very disturbing to me. He's a very disturbing
kind of a disaster.
Right, that's what I'm saying, the second Halloween. So it was like the second Halloween.
The first one was surprisingly good.
Yes.
I was surprised I enjoyed myself as much as I did.
So he took the second Halloween, took out made a no-budget production, and made it worse. And he threw in 80-year-old full frontal finger nudity.
He had to touch it. That first one was brilliant. I was saying, oh, my God, here you go. All the answers. It's so, like the Planet of the Apes thing.
Yes. So for, I guess, the big budget worst movie of the year, I'd have to go with After Earth. Because any movie that has a father and son...
Still haven't seen it.
Well, any movie that has a father and son in the movie as the actors, as father and son, and you not believe that they're father and son, cannot possibly be a good movie. I'm sitting there thinking, there's no chemistry between them.
Will Smith took a shot, and he did
that. But that was his movie. He wrote that movie.
Yeah.
So you can't blame
Blames
M. Night
himself.
Shyamalan
Trust
for that.
Trust me. He blames himself. He blames himself, and that's what I like about him. Because he's like,
But he's so charismatic. He'd be like, all right, and then rubs it off, and then you get another one. Yeah, that's the beauty of him.
Probably get a good one next time.
Yeah. But as of right now, man, I'm like, ugh. I'm sitting there.
He manned up to it. That's what I like about Will.
He
went on national TV and went, hey, Will.
It was long.
I took a shot.
There was no connection at all with the characters, and it was just them two. So if you have two people on screen for the entire movie and they're not sharing the screen, they better be really interesting characters.
And
they weren't.
And I don't want to say anything bad about that family because I happen to like those people, but his son needs to improve his acting. His father came right into it.
I mean, come on. First of all, I understand what you're saying, but his son is a kid. So, of course, he's not going to need to improve his acting.
Dakota Fanning is a kid actress, and she was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference, though. Not all the kid actors can be phenomenal.
Well, no, but you're saying, but you just can't, just because they're a kid doesn't mean that they can't act. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, if you're saying he needs to learn to do acting, I mean, he's a kid. You wouldn't be like, well, that kid needs to learn to drive better, you know? I mean, it's going to happen with time. As time goes on.
You need to,
you're not going to look at a 5-year-old math and say, you need to learn trigonometry, you know? It's coming with time. It's going to happen.
No. that's crazy because there's many kids that you see in movies and you go, holy crap, look at this kid acting.
If he's 20 years old and he can't act and he's still acting the same way, then I would completely agree with you. But he's still... You know, he's still a kid.
I'm agreeing with Charlie on this one. Saying a kid, using the kid defense is applicable?
Applicable
to this situation.
You're missing my point.
Okay.
You're missing the point. The statement was, he needs to learn acting, right?
He needs to learn to act better, yes.
Yes,
right.
He needs to learn to act
better. And I'm saying he's a kid. Of course he's learning to act better. It's not like he's Christopher Plummer, where he's in his 60s, and he's at he should be at the master level of his acting technique. If your statement is he needs to learn to act better, I say it's already happening. If your statement is he's a terrible actor, then I'm not going to disagree with you.
All right.
But
if your
assessment is that he needs to learn more, then
that's the multiple choice I'm picking. He's terrible. he needs. Hopefully he'll get better. But on the other hand, his father was thrown right into a series, and I thought his father was amazing. And then he did all dramatic roles. And there's even
I don't know. I never mind his acting. I saw The Karate Kid, and I saw him in also what was that? The Day the Earth Stood Still. They're not masterful performances by any stretch of the imagination, but I think a lot of the vitriol that comes about it is because the kid's getting fast-tracked in a manner that a lot of people think are unfair, is unfair to due to the fact that his dad is just putting him in movies wherever he wants him to. But then again, I don't really mind that, because if my dad was a superstar actor and I wanted to be in the movies and he was willing to put me in them, I'd be in them.
All right, so we got about a minute left. So, final thought for the year 2013, Hassan?
Lie.
Lie?
I said goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. All right. Charlie, yeah, final thought?
This was a bad year for me. I'm going to get the big decades.
Well, I got to say, it's a good year that you're still alive, Charlie. So I'm going to go with it's a good year that you made it through.
Yes, I so understand that.
So 2013 was pretty well for us on the little radio show that we do, and hopefully 2014 will be even better. We thank you all for listening with us every week on Sunday, and if you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website at www.itcamefromradio.com, and the archives will be up in a week or so. We'll see you next week.
Happy New Year.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.